Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/filthycasuals right now. That's harrys.com/filthycasuals.
Today we're also brought to you by ShipStation. If you sell online, then it's the fast and easy way to manage and dispatch all your orders from the one place. And you can try ShipStation free for 30 days using the promotion code casuals at ShipStation.com.
Welcome once again to another episode of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel. It's great to be here, Tommy, in the in Site B, in Isla Nuevos or whichever one.
Isla Sauna was one of them.
Yeah, you're right.
And Isla... Fisher.
Very good. Yes, someone's wife, if I'm not mistaken.
A famous character who may show up a little later on.
Also Adam Knox.
Yes.
The guy who plays Borat.
That's me. Hello, my wife.
Respect.
Yeah, we are doing this at my house in my bedroom. And let me tell you guys, the majority of my preparation for this podcast today was cleaning up my fucking bomb site of a room, knowing that you guys were coming around.
It looks beautiful.
It was filthy before you guys got here.
Hey.
Well, really, really bad stuff.
That's the name of our podcast.
Yeah, really, filthy really when you got here.
Okay.
We both had takes.
That was pretty good.
I mean, I'm a acclaimed comedian, Borat, so.
If any listeners know how to minimize the amount of fucking dust that gets into a room, then good Lord, I'd love to know it.
Melbourne is apparently dustier than
really?
A lot of places. This is what I've heard from my cheeky British girlfriend, is that it's noticeably dusty because we get a lot of...
Oh, it's a little bit dusty in here.
It's a little dusty.
Oh, Adam, get that feather duster out.
Respect.
But like I think it's because we have so much desert in the country and there's a lot of winds from the north.
Right.
Blowing down south, and that's where the dust comes from, is what I've been told.
Interesting in inverted commas.
Yeah. I've also heard we're the most like pollen-centric city in the world, possibly. Like, allergies are the worst here.
I have an air filter because of both of those things.
Well, I know the solution is, like, don't have items in a room. Do you know what I mean? So, like...
Have it all in drawers. Have it all tucked away somewhere.
Which, so if you look around you, it's like just this room is just full of shit that just collects dust all over it. Like I had to
it's
give
just
my
buckets everywhere, half full of dust.
I had to give my 96 amiibo a individual polishing each this afternoon.
And how much did that bloody cost them, huh?
What? They're about $17
each. Individual polishing.
At JB Hi-Fi.
Okay. Borat's back and he's ready to rumble.
Hey, let's do some plugs up the top of this episode. We've got our Patreon episodes, the premium episodes that we... No, not Patreon episodes, Bandcamp episodes.
Yes.
The premium episodes that we do on Bandcamp that where we focus on
a theme, a franchise.
Franchise. We just put one up in the last couple of weeks that is of MS-DOS games. So a bit of a history of, those kinds of games and our personal favourites. But there's heaps on there now. We've done like 10 of them or something.
Yeah.
Good little library on there. If you're listening to this and you enjoy it and you're one of those people who is starved for extra stuff to listen to, you can go and get them. They're all like 2 to 3 hours long. We have a Patreon that you can support the show on where you get to be in a Facebook group with us and you get an extra episode every month.
Yes, we just did The Secret of Mana. Which we hated, so it's interesting.
I mean, now there's no one's going to fuck the cow if you give the milk away for free.
Yeah, sorry. Let's edit that out.
This cow, maybe it's up for it, maybe it's not. Who's going to know about this cow until you come and...
Well, now I've got free milk and I can say for sure the cow is up for it.
we've actually chosen, though, our next three. So what are they in order? Worms Armageddon is next.
It's for this month. Every month we do a book club, basically.
Yes.
But it's video games instead of books.
Yeah.
Worms Armageddon, some sweet money out of this Patreon.
Yes.
Fuck, I should have saved that for the app.
And then it's Leisure Suit Larry, the first one.
In mm-hmm. the Land of the Lounge Lizards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gesundheit. And then the third one in May is Kingdom Hearts. We're going to play
Yeah. Through. Yeah, finally, we're going to actually do it.
Yeah. So we started a poll in the Facebook group and we said, now let's stress, it sort of needs to be something short. Because yeah. we don't really have a lot of time between the three of us at the moment. Cut to everyone voting for Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
Like by a landslide.
Yeah. And we started pleading, like, please don't vote for Kingdom Hearts. We yes. don't have time.
We don't want an electoral college thing yeah. happening here.
Yeah.
But then we flipped it in reverse. We tricked them.
Yes.
And we're doing the top three in reverse order. And
yeah. that's
works
right.
out.
To give ourselves more time to play Kingdom Hearts. Absolutely yep. no doubt in my mind that I will still leave it until the week before we do it. Also, you guys have just started. Your own, well, I was going to say offshoot. It's not really an offshoot.
No.
But you've started a new podcast.
A sister podcast.
Yes.
Family is very important, as you will learn in the show Two's Three's Company.
It's the podcast is called Two's Company. It's me and Knox. We talk about three. No, it's about Game of Thrones. We are going episode by episode, week by week, up until the eighth season, which comes out next year, which we're very excited for. And our first episode's out. The podcast is called Arya Talking to Me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I think we've shared it. We've shared it on all the Filthy Casuals social media stuff, but yeah. it's on iTunes now and
that
Stitcher.
That algorithm though, buddy.
I know, right?
You want to give it a shout out on the pod.
Yes.
People will find it if they're interested, and if they're not, maybe they'll stumble across it anyway.
Lots of great feedback coming in so far on the socials from the people who've listened to it.
Yeah, I think the kind of idea was that we were going to probably rewatch this series individually before this final season.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this podcast because we love content.
Yeah. yeah.
And we'd be talking about it anyway. And so it is nice. Some people have been like, this is great. I've never seen the show. I'm going to watch along with you. Or like, I gave up on the show at season 5 and I'm going to go back and start it again. Yeah. So yeah.
We're still sort of figuring out the specifics of how to structure it and all that sort of stuff. But I think the two we've recorded so far have been fun.
Yeah.
Second of which will be out on Monday.
Great. Yes. I haven't listened yet. I don't watch the show.
yeah.
But I've been meaning to in order to find out whether you mention me.
I don't think you've come up. No, wait, maybe we said in the first one, thank God this fucking dude's not here. Yes.
Right, okay. Well, I'll definitely tune in now that I know I get a mention. So, lots of stuff for people to go and look into there. Mm. Now, last week we were talking about how there wasn't a lot of stuff coming up.
yeah.
And bugger me down if there hasn't been a decent, yes. if not overwhelming, amount of news in this last week.
Yeah, yeah. And we actually have a game to talk about as well. So yes. this is a regulation episode.
This one will get past those bureaucrats.
yes.
We've met every standard.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been a whole bunch of some like rumory news. I think most of it is, but from sources that people reporting on it seem to be pretty confident on.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's start with this one. So there was an announcement, heavy speculation that Diablo 3 is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Well, so we should say there's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow morning.
Yeah. yeah.
So we obviously kind of seen that because it's in the future, but that I think that will be the place where we find out if that's true or not.
Yeah, but
sure.
But this is one of those ones where it isn't the way that they... So this rumor comes from the Blizzard tweeting a photo... Of a light switch.
That had a Diablo head.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I missed that part of it.
Yeah.
So well, that's pretty...
And people are going, switch. What could that mean?
Yeah, I would love it if it's like, we've increased the brightness in Diablo across yes. all
Or it's literally
systems.
They are selling that light switch that you can put over the existing fittings in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, one of those ones that it's like... That happened like nearly a week ago or something.
Yeah.
So it's still like in rumor territory, but you can basically count that as an announcement.
Yeah,
I guess so. That may as well be official.
Yeah, yeah, that would make total sense as well. Blizzard have been way more console happy this last sort of few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Diablo on all the other consoles.
Yeah, what is it? Reaper of Souls or something is the one they chucked on consoles.
It was on the 360 and the PS3 before that too, just the base version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you're right. This seems
Overwatch
like the
as well.
Sort of thing that'll be tacked on the end of... this Nintendo Direct tomorrow morning.
Do either of you give a bit of a shit? Same question you were about to ask, I think interrupted.
Yeah, never played any of the Diablos. I was actually going to ask, so I think both of you have played it originally, right?
Yeah.
is this it coming out as a re-release port on the Switch? Is that a good thing?
Well,
it's not an interesting thing. Like, it's cool, fine, you know, do whatever. But I'm not liable to play it ever again, really.
Well, right. I didn't even like the third one.
Yeah. Right,
I really like it. It's one and two, and the expansion for two for me that I actually like.
Is the third one 2012?
It's reasonably recent. It's not from
But then the console versions of it have like a roll with the right stick that isn't in the PC one. So they sort of play kind of differently.
Yeah, right.
Which is interesting-ish. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's just like it totally fits. It makes sense. It's something you can play in quick little bursts.
Mm. Yeah.
It makes sense to be on a portable thing.
It has a significant online component though.
True.
There's a lot of co-op and multiplayer and loot trading and stuff like that. So I'm assuming that's
good news for you, Ben. There's a Nintendo Switch Online service that's launching at the end of this year.
Oh my god. I'm sure it's going to be really streamlined and easy to use.
Well, and it's good that we have all the details of that so that we can definitely say whether or not this will be good on it, because
you, the consumer, right, can make an objective decision.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't really have any interest in this personally, but I'm at a point where any new kind of third party thing getting announced on the Switch, I'm very much into, because I think that's going to be a key in its long term longevity. Third party developers being able to make a go of it and being able to get good returns out of putting stuff on there. So
this is another interesting one where, like, Diablo 3 is very popular. Like, it's really, really popular. It's highly played. So it's the issue is like, well, are people going to play it on the Switch if they've already played it? If people haven't played it, are they going to care enough to play it on the Switch? Like,
if you can do like same screen co-op with Joy-Cons, that would be cool. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
It's a totally fine thing, and I don't imagine it being any different to the ones that already exist on the consoles, which are by all accounts fine.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I hated it, like, I still, with Skyrim on the Switch, like, I still see heaps of people in our Facebook group talk about they'd played it to death and thought they'd never have cause to go back in and thought they were done with it, and then just being able to take it on the bus has, like, meant that they've gotten back into it all over again. Like, an actual surprising number of people being super, super into it. So.
Diablo 3 does seem like one of those ones that a lot of people sort of skipped over at the time too, because the reception to it was pretty frosty.
Yes.
And then I think it's been significantly improved since.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
So
yeah,
it's a good reset button maybe for people who tried the original and want to go on this one.
I mean, that's kind of for me. And every time we talk about a game being ported to the Switch, we have these same discussions where in the end it's just like, oh, but it's just a good game that's going to be on another console.
Yeah.
End of discussion.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because it's purely because the Switch is a handheld thing.
Yeah.
I would never have fucking bothered talking about, like, oh, Arkham City's going to be on the Wii U.
Yeah, sure.
That would have just been the most boring conversation in the world. Like, will it be the same?
Yeah. It's slightly worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But
it's portable.
Two generations of, big third-party games, even if it's delayed, kind of never making it to Nintendo consoles.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
The fact that we're living in this world is interesting. It's cool.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of shit out there, man. This world pretty interesting.
It's getting more interesting by the day.
You ever been on fucking Wikipedia,
mate?
There's some shit on there.
Yeah.
The world is really fascinating.
Have you been on WikiLeaks?
I'm not allowed. Mom doesn't let me.
Following on from that, there is a Nintendo Direct tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Melbourne time.
Mm.
All they've said is that they are going to be focusing in on Mario Tennis, providing some details on that, and then upcoming releases for the Switch and 3DS.
So that suggests that Mario Tennis is possibly the only game that's already been announced that they'll cover in this. So it's half an hour long. That's all that we really know about it, other than the Mario Tennis.
Oh, sure. But speculation that Yoshi will be in there, or Yoshi, as people prefer us to say.
Hopefully that's the announcement, is party line on how to pronounce his name.
Yes.
They show off nothing of the game. It's like, look, we know there's something out there that you're all desperate to see.
Yeah.
It's Labo. Like,
they have the, you know, in the dictionaries, how it has a little phonetic things that just
IPA.
Comes up on the
International Phonetic Alphabet.
Mm.
I used to study that. I did linguistics.
Wow. What happened?
It's not particularly useful, it turns out. If you want to learn how to speak as though you have an Irish accent, if you're reading from it,
yes,
it can do that for you.
Wow.
Schwa. That's the upside down E.
Oh, nice.
Schwa.
Cool.
But yeah, not particularly useful in almost any situation. Even this one.
Especially not when you're talking about a possible Nintendo Direct and trying to speculate on what might be getting announced.
Yeah.
So I'm really tempering my expectations for this one.
Yes.
I'm really into the little bit that we've seen of Mario Tennis. So
yeah.
If all it was just finding out new stuff about that,
yeah.
I'm psyched, even if that's all that it is, because I'm really keen to know more about that game and the story mode and everything.
And we don't have a release date on that yet, do we?
No release date, yeah. I'd say it'll be probably a bit more info about Labo.
Probably not, because they kept that one separate from a very close direct.
That's a good point.
I don't, what else is there to know?
I think there's a good shot that this is a bunch of new games getting announced.
Yeah, right.
Because it's a year on from the Switch being released. There'll be some sort of like, it's been an incredible year. Thanks for, here's Mario to tell you about his good year. Mario's like, yeah, hooray.
Yeah.
And then it'll be...
And then he'll go... Here's a DLC, and there'll be more DLC or some little surprise.
Yeah. I mean, that's love that, but yeah, I'm trying to not get. My personal expectation is I don't think there'll be any new games announced in this.
Mm.
That's just my personal.
Yeah.
At most, I think maybe like an HD remaster of like.
I think
Galaxy
that's extremely likely that there will be some kind of remaster.
If it's anything new getting announced, it'll be a remaster. I don't think we'll get an announcement of like anything brand new.
Okay,
who knows?
Maybe like the Pokemon game or Metroid or something where they've announced it already, but they'll go like, and now we have something to show you.
Sure, a little bit. Yeah, that would be cool. And yeah, there is still a bunch of stuff that doesn't have dates. And the fact that they've said it's for stuff on the 3DS as well, like that kind of makes me think like,
oh, really?
Oh man, is this thing just going to blow out and be 20 minutes of... fucking 3DS bullshit.
Yeah.
What's still on the 3DS?
They did announce a bunch of stuff at E3.
Is there a Fire Emblem game or is that the Switch that they...
I think that's the Switch is the one of those that's coming. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there is stuff that they've talked about, but yeah. But they've said that they're going to be talking about the 3DS. Well,
I hope it's just them putting one into a tiny little coffin. we are actually done.
Yeah.
Doing the things that cops do where it's like they're just shooting the gun into the ground. Like.
Yeah, they drive them to like a really nice lake. Like, we had a bunch of good times, didn't we? And then they shoot, put two in the back of his head and they go, but Luigi's Mansion 3, coming to the Switch.
Oh, so that's the whole half an hour is just this drawn out execution with just a whisper of a new game at the very end.
The execution happens early on. And then the rest of it is them dealing with the guilt.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it's their marriages falling apart.
They just keep like seeing 3DSs everywhere, but looking back and they're gone.
They're at airports where there are like two screens, one on top of the other, just to show you the flights. But they go, oh, God.
Slippery Bill Trinan just consumed by guilt.
Yes.
Is he getting in on this thing? Maybe he'll be in there tomorrow.
I haven't seen him for ages.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Where you been, Bill? We miss you.
Slipping and sliding around. They keep booking him, but he keeps slipping as well.
Oh. Yeah.
Again, that's 10 minutes of the presentation. So you're probably wondering what I've been up to in the last year. And it's just him showing you some bullshit holiday slides that he took.
I've been trying to learn kanji.
So I saw some like rumor thing that I don't think is probably true. But
great
album. It was around. And so you're like, oh, maybe. And it was...
Is this Slippery Bill related?
No, not even slightly.
I'm going to disengage then.
It was DLC for Odyssey.
Yeah, I saw that too.
That was new levels or a new level that was like Luigi's Mansion themed.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there was a couple of other things that weren't as interesting as that. But that
I mean,
cool.
Yeah, look, the DLC for Odyssey seems like a likely announcement. Not that you can ever know with these guys.
Mm.
That would be great. But like I said, I'm not expecting anything beyond just a bit of tennis action.
No, totally. Yep. Who knows? It could be at some point like, we're blowing up balloons and that interacts with the Switch somehow.
We've
got a balloon game now.
Yeah, and just dates for stuff. You know what? They've been so restrained with the Amiibo lately that I've got a feeling that tomorrow they're just going to absolutely do it to us with the Amiibo.
Yeah, right.
Just like, here's four different Cranky Kong Amiibos that are coming out with Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to think
of what games there even were where Amiibos would make sense. Dark Souls, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Having like just a little fireplace Amiibo.
I would think there'll be a line of Mario Tennis related
Amiibos. Of course.
Sure. His little shorts and his little visor.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking today that is kind of funny? So you and I, Ben, are going back to Japan
in
August. And at that point, it will be 2 years since I was there last.
Oh, yeah.
I was there in August 2016. And I went to Super Potato, a shop that we went to that is like a secondhand game store.
Yes. You can buy an emporium.
An emporium,
yes.
The happiest place on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And when we went, we
is
got
this Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium? Because that's the happiest emporium.
It's Mr. Megorium's son. Yes. You want to show him respect. And yeah, you and I both bought these little handheld things that play NES cartridges.
Yeah.
And so the last time I was there, I was umming and ahhing because you can get a Super Nintendo version of that there as well. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I really want to get one of them. But at that point, the Switch got announced in like October, but it was like rumored at that point that it was a handheld.
Right.
I think it was around then that there was like heavy speculation of what it was.
We might have seen that leaked diagram or something, yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, I won't worry about this because this new thing's going to be a portable and I'll just be able to get all the SNES games on that.
Right.
Anyway. So I got to say, it's pretty close to me being there 2 years on. If Virtual Console hasn't launched on the Switch by the time we're there, fuck it, I'm going in on a little portable Super Nintendo.
Yeah, maybe that's what this is tomorrow.
I really
doubt that it's what this is.
Yeah.
Though, I just think they never mention it and it never happens.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that feeling as well. It's just not going to exist anymore.
Or it feels like at this point it'll just be like all of a sudden a tweet. Oh, hey, it's all online now.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how well the other ones did for them. Speaking of Japan, though,
yes.
I don't know what this news is, but someone's written Pokemon Cafe.
Well, take a fucking flying guess as to what that could be.
Or is it some kind of antiviral medication?
Just sound it out using your linguistic skills.
Po-schwa.
Say it in Irish for us.
What is that? Is it...
A brand new Pokemon-themed cafe is opening in Tokyo.
Is it sort of... So is it just Pokemon-themed? Or because the first thing I thought of when I read that is, you know how they have like the cat cafes where you go in and you get to interact with a bunch of cats? Are they faking it so that you... I know Pokemon aren't... Are they faking it?
Oh, thank God you addressed that because we had real grave concerns. Yes.
You could have little Pokemon robots milling about and make like a fake cat cafe Pokemon style.
Or a Pokemon Go cafe where, you know, that's where you go into the room and use the AR thing and they're all there.
Yeah, and you can only get special ones and you have to pay entry. Mm. That would be a good racket.
Thankfully, it's nothing that shit.
Yes.
No, Japan, like, they love they do them in Tower Records all the time. They love a little pop-up of like... Hey, everything's Mario themed. Mm. And so, you know, we've made this
mushroom
this egg
dish
look like
whatever.
Mario. And to get it that color, we've had to put some food dye in it that makes it taste quite rank. So this is a bit of that. Like
it's a
new one that's opening in Tokyo, I think pretty soon.
Yes, yes. May, I think, maybe. Yeah.
And little dishes where it's like, there's a weird one. I posted it in our Facebook group of like, it's the back half of Pikachu. Kind of like he's presenting at you.
Yeah.
Just this weird thing where you can go in there and eat Pikachu's ass. It's really weird.
That's weird as well for the one of their Pokemon that has the most recognizable face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's make his asshole.
Yeah, head down, ass up. Yeah.
That's the way we like to sup.
But yeah, I mean, I love that shit. I'm really into that kind of novelty sort of stuff. And, you know, because it's Japan, the food might not be like what I was saying before about the food, but you do then get... all sorts of cool little collectible-y stuff with your meal and like
We got like a figurine and a like a little themed coaster and a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Mario one that we went to. Yeah.
Yes.
So that'll be cool to go check out. I'm going to eat every meal there.
Yeah, nice.
I'm pledging now.
Yeah.
If Virtual Console hasn't come out by the time we're in Japan,
yes.
I will buy a mini Super Nintendo thing and I will eat every meal at the Pokemon Cafe.
Nice.
Boy, I can't wait to have my feet held to the fire on this one in 6 months' time.
Oh, yeah. Nox, what are some dishes they might serve there?
Okay. They would do... bulbous soup is the only thing I can think
what?
Of. Like Bulbasaur.
I know what it's like.
Mew stew.
Great.
Or stew too.
So in your head, the meals just have to like rhyme with a Pokemon and then it can just be whatever.
Surely, right? Pikachu, but just with EW at the end.
Like fried Magikarp, I guess. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
It's got to be a pun. I think so.
All right.
I feel like it does. The idea that you're actually just eating a cooked Pokemon.
Charred Manda.
Charred Manda. Now you're thinking with your head.
Yes.
Ratatouille. Raticatatouille. Right?
Yes, yeah.
Dragon food.
I knew either we were going to come up with some good ones or we were going to flounder badly, and either way it would be funny.
Yeah.
Mr. Mime. He's the funniest Pokemon, so there's got to be one.
You know, they've got that Pokemon Ditto that can just turn into anything.
Yeah.
So that's an excuse to just bring out fucking what? Just a nice T-bone steak.
But then Ditto,
yeah, Ditto turned into this.
A nice, well, Cubone steak. Cubone steak.
Cubone steak.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually good.
No, it's actual, it's just weird shit like that where it's like, here's an egg.
Yeah, it's just rice shaped into different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, don't bother going there.
Oh. Japan as a whole?
Yeah, the whole country is no good. It's all themed as far as I can tell.
Yes,
yeah,
and cool. It is mostly just rice put into different shapes of things.
Yes, yeah. You're right. The whole country is Japan themed. It's sick.
Yeah. While we're on the Nintendo thing, they've officially changed Mario's Tinder profile, I guess.
Yes.
His
yes.
LinkedIn has switched back and he's now... officially a plumber.
Yes.
Yeah, so this was a thing from a little while ago where on their official website in Japanese, they put something that he'd stopped plumbing or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. And like now he has multiple occupations or something like that.
And today's 24-hour news bait click cycle went into a fucking frenzy.
Yeah.
Because the change from him not being a plumber... we probably talked about it at the time, but I remember it came up on everything. Like pedestrian and stuff were reporting on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now he's back.
Yeah.
This doesn't get mentioned at all.
No.
Because nobody likes to hear about someone being successful. They want to kick you when you're down.
That's it.
And when he wasn't a plumber and you would say, oh, Mario's fallen. Look at Macaulay Culkin and his addiction. Like, yeah. It's all that.
But no one wants to hear about his charming interview with Marc Maron.
No. Yeah.
That was something Macaulay Culkin did.
Did he? I've not been following because he's
now,
gotten a lot better.
No, I have not.
So, but you're still happy to call it charming?
Absolutely.
I assume Macaulay Culkin is charming still because he was when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I read excerpts.
Right.
And he sounded absolutely charming.
That's a strange way. We should start writing up excerpts of this.
Mm.
You know, you can pay like $5 and get your podcast your podcast transcribed.
Really?
Which that comment is going to come back to bite you when I transcribe this podcast.
Yeah, well, we should do it then.
Okay.
And then we can like just control F Nintendo and see how bad we actually are with Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. The most used phrases on the show.
Oh, God. The absolute stones on us.
That thing initially just reeked of like a kind of a mistranslation anyway.
Well, the thing of it being like, yeah, he has a lot of jobs. He plays soccer and does baseball and whatever.
Yeah.
That makes more sense than him being a plumber, which, he hasn't done for a long time.
Sure. His job is superhero.
Mm. Yeah, really. Exactly.
Yeah.
Demigod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plumber. But now he's a plumber. Yeah, he's a plumber again.
Good for him. Maybe that means tomorrow it's like a half hour reveal of just like a plumber booking app that they've
it
got on
really
the site.
It really would be so sick if they brought out a game where you're Mario doing actual plumbing.
Yeah.
That would really be fucking cool. However, in whatever way they did it, maybe it's like a weird puzzle game or a Minecraft-y style building thing. Like, well, that would be great.
Yeah.
There are those puzzle games that are like they're the pipes and you have to start making the pipes and fitting them together while the water is starting to flow. Like, that's an actual game.
I assume that's what being a plumber is like as well.
Yeah.
You have 16 pipes which you cannot change.
Yeah.
You cannot order new pipes. You've got to fit these in.
And there's a time limit of like 60 seconds.
The person who you're doing the plumbing at their house, they're going like, I'm gonna shit in a minute.
Yeah,
you've got one minute.
You've got the U-bends and you can rotate them 90 degrees at a time.
Yes.
They have to link up.
Put it in diagonally. No. It's got to twist a full 90.
Righto. So next bit of news. What did you want to talk about here?
I guess another rumor. The next Call of Duty is probably going to be Black Ops 4.
Yes.
Which I feel like a year ago to the day almost, we went, the next Call of Duty is going to be World War II.
Yeah.
And the reaction to that was, okay.
And then it ended up being your favorite game of last year.
Oh, hell yeah, my dude. I love it how they treated that war and those characters with so interesting a backstory.
Did you play Black Ops 3?
And I fucking hated it.
Yeah, okay.
The first one where I really went, ooh,
yeah,
this
right.
Series is going bad.
Yeah,
because the multiplayer was fine. It was the single player campaign fucking sucked. It had that dude from SVU in it,
Christopher Maloney,
maybe
the bald guy.
Yeah, 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 bald guy. He's in Veep occasionally too, and he was in Black Ops 3. Anyway, it was like just
Wet Hot American Summer.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Dude. Yes. Sure.
He's the bandana guy in that.
Mm. Yeah.
And Law and Order.
And Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
And Oz. Yeah. A very good series.
Black Ops 3 as well. So he was like.
Wait.
Their big actor about? In it. Anyway, it just was this boring fucking convoluted story that was so different to. I really liked the first Black Ops.
He was also in Man of Steel.
Right. Okay. Well, not as good as his turn in Call of Duty.
He's in a show on the Sci-Fi Channel with Patton Oswalt.
Black Ops 3.
Nice.
It was just really like a shit version of Halo where it was kind of more open, so it didn't have like the driving cinematic thing of Call of Duty games.
Right.
But then it didn't have the sort of sandboxy go figure out this situation however you want thing of like Halo games.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was this dumb middle point where it just felt repetitive and boring, the campaign at least, the whole time. And then
Siri, look up Chris Maloney IMDb page.
Watching you yell that at your laptop screen.
In my head, I was like, thank God the listeners can't see what an absolute boomer I just look like. And now I've been outed. It's what I deserve for interrupting.
Yelling into your Casio digital watch. It kind of sucks that they're doing another one of these because, yeah, I didn't like the last one and I only really liked the first one.
But
yeah,
do you care either way? Because, like, you're saying it sucks that it'll be Black Ops 4. If it was just a new Call of Duty, I feel like you would kind of hate the idea of that either way.
No, there could be there'd be something they could do with it. I don't know exactly what it is, but if they were like, this one's in the fucking American Revolutionary War or whatever, something really crazy.
Not a themed cafe.
And not, like, just vague space. And not just, which is what this one's going to be if it's anything like the other one.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know. It's just very, when your series is going on a downhill trajectory, I don't feel like the thing to do is play it safe.
Yeah, to do number four.
Exactly.
Remember back in the day when it was.
The full name of it would be something like Call of Duty 14, Black Ops 4.
Yeah.
And then it'll have like a little, what's under that? Like a. Not a subtitle.
We've given up. Or like a quote or something. Will be because this is, I think I've got this right, Treyarch, who are like became the good one after the people who went on to do Respawn, which is Titanfall, left. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, Treyarch did the first Black Ops. Is that right? Yeah,
the first Black Ops was great.
I really liked it. Yeah, I think it is still probably the last Call of Duty I've played.
And a great thing about it was how creative it was with its settings. It zipped around in time a bunch, and the
storytelling was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've completely fallen away from that with the series as a whole, and especially with Black Ops 3, I thought. Mm. But and then the last two after that as well. So who cares about that fucking series anymore?
Yeah.
Me, I'm going to buy them still, and I don't know what's wrong with me.
I love it's. I think Call of Duty. Yeah, no, that's not it. I was going to say it's like you with Call of Duty is like me with Nintendo, but that's not quite a fair comparison. You seem to be so antagonized by it, but you just can't help yourself. You keep going back to the well.
Because you're in a relationship where you don't realize how awful Nintendo is.
Yeah.
So you keep showing up and being like, oh, no, it's okay. It was my fault.
Yeah, sometimes they bring me flowers.
But I know how awful Call of Duty is, but I go around on birthdays out of a sense of obligation. And it's the fact that I'm too nice that's the problem with the relationship. Because if I cut myself off from Call of Duty, maybe it'd get better and fix.
Yeah.
Because if people stop fucking buying it, then they'd do something new.
But it has other enablers.
Yeah, but it needs to hit rock bottom itself before it's going to realize.
Yeah.
And that might be Black Ops fucking 4.
Or it will make $7 billion and they won't care.
Maybe World War II, I think, did better than they've been doing for a bit.
Mm.
So who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I saw The Darkest Hour the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking of World War II.
Mm. Big Old Man won the Oscar.
Yeah,
that movie's fine.
Yeah.
It's weird. I watched it in a cinema. Did you see it in a cinema?
No, I watched you know what? Come at me, the fuzz. A legally downloaded copy.
Legally downloaded copy. You downloaded it legally. Good. It was legally downloaded copy. So nobody can go and get you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be careful, they're going to fucking write this down.
I legally downloaded it because I own the film canister as well. So I already have it.
Good. Yes.
I paid good money for those.
They're definitely still printing film canisters.
Yeah, yeah.
Siri,
Google illegal downloads. I was yelling that into the film canisters.
That was one of those weird movies where it was really flat and boring, the subject matter.
Yeah.
So there are like five times in that movie where it's massively over-directed.
All right.
But this is the thing. It's one of those things where like it's the subject matter isn't boring. Like, the subject matter is fucking World War II, but you're seeing the diplomatic, like, because it's lower budget too, you're just kind of hearing them talk about all this exciting stuff, and it's like, boy, I wish I could see some of this right now.
Yeah. Right. And it, yeah, boring isn't the right word, but it's plain, it's flat. There's not a lot you can do with people talking in a room.
I mean, yeah, it's really one of those things that is all set up to just make you go, wow, Oldman really doesn't look like himself and is doing a doing a good job of sounding a bit silly, isn't he?
But then
and
there's a few times peppered through the movie where they zoom in from space into a soldier's eye, or he goes up an elevator in complete black except for the elevator, and it just really sticks out because it's like, well, you just put this in there to make it look visually a little bit.
Right.
I'll be honest, I watched it with my dad because my dad is interested in about maybe two movies a year.
I'm glad you were honest about that with me.
So I watched it with him on a TV, and he like so he really wanted to see it, so I like got it, took it around there. And I, about halfway through, I just started playing Bayonetta on the Switch because I was sitting behind him where he couldn't see me, and he like he couldn't tell that I wasn't paying attention anymore. I was like, this is the perfect crime.
Yeah. I actually find a few people sitting around in a room talking really interesting. I'd almost listened to a podcast that was just that.
Not for me.
Do we have any more news?
Yeah,
this
a couple
week?
Of things. So Far Cry 5, which is out in like 3 weeks.
Less than a month.
Or something, yeah. Mm. 3 weeks. there's a season pass trailer and a bunch of more details. Have we talked about this?
So the season pass stuff came out. The thing that they hadn't said that I thought was really interesting, there was an email we got this week that kind of relates to this. There's the Far Cry games have had like editors in them before. Like the ones on consoles even have had, you can go in and make your own maps, but just kind of nobody does.
Yeah.
And they're pushing the one for this one harder.
Yeah.
Far Cry 5 Arcade is what they're calling it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's basically Little Big Planet, but Far Cry.
So it looks pretty cool. It's not typically the sort of stuff I'm into, but like looking at the screens of it, it's like basically, yeah, you can put in its assets from all the other Far Cry games and then a bunch of other Ubisoft.
Mm.
Is it Ubisoft?
Yeah.
Properties and stuff. So you've got these great screenshots of like a fucking Yeti and then and then pigs running around and in the middle of a city. And
bunch of balloons and a gorilla and all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Just several animals.
Yeah. Some grass, a cat. It's fucking wild.
But it does look cool. It does look like potentially, a lot of fun. So the way that you get to it is like there's these arcade cabinets in the game. You can access it that way, they are going to kind of curate the best one. I think there's going to be a way of going through, like they're going to have curated lists of like the best ones.
Right. They're doing all the shit that like Mario Maker should have done.
Yeah.
Where they're going through and actually making some themselves and picking out the best ones and letting you rate them and comment on them and stuff on a side website.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. It looks fun.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not you can play Far Cry indefinitely or if it's something that you get sick of at some point. Which I think for me, I would get sick of it at some
point. Again, it's still, this is the sort of thing that I think looks cool, but is just, with the best intentions, I never end up going in on it.
Right.
So, I mean, to that sort of person who's into it, I'm sure that's very, very enticing.
Mm.
I don't think it'll, I'm sure I'll give it a go for the sake of, just seeing what it's like, but I don't, like with all this stuff, I don't see myself really going deep in it.
This is the kind of thing where someone will make a level that becomes a brand new game.
Yeah,
like,
hopefully.
And it's for those people, those kind of people with that ingenuity who are like, I'm going to stretch like the limits of what this can be and make the game I always wanted to make.
Which is a big deal because that's where stuff like Dota or fucking PUBG and all those sort of things came spawned out of.
Totally.
So, it's cool to have that. And I guess that's probably half of what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Making this such a focus. And
it's also about artificially lengthening the amount of time people will want to keep the game.
Well, totally. As a deal, this game is fucking pretty good.
Yeah.
Because the season pass has heaps of good shit in it, it looks like. The game itself.
You get four. You get Far Cry 4 as a...
You get three.
Oh. You get three.
You get an updated version of three.
Right. Yes. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And then you get, all these other scenarios, which in this trailer they showed the three that they've announced, which is like... Vietnam, the Mars, and zombies, something. And then three other ones with question marks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like heaps of shit.
Yeah, cool. Excited to play that in a few weeks' time.
Mm.
And one final bit of news. Now, Ben, you like the 80s.
Mate, I fucking love the 80s. I love E.T.
Uh-huh.
I love Stranger Things. Wait a minute. That's...
Yeah, no, E.T., you can list five.
Okay,
I thought five. You said eating.
I love eating.
Like, where the fuck
it's
is that?
That
80s?
People did in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess so. Out of those, like.
People do it up to their 80s. And after that, they, I think, it's use a tube.
Yeah.
With those cups they had in the 80s with the sort of patterns embossed into the side.
Pattern cups.
You know what I mean?
No.
No.
You'd know them if I showed
cups
you
with
it.
Patterns in them.
Yeah, not patterns.
I either know that it's just a normal cup or I've never heard of what
it's
you're talking about.
It's a cup with ridges and bumps in it. It's sort of like a condom of a cup.
I was nearly with you. And yeah. That really, I sort of thought I could picture what you were talking about. Yeah. Now I'm picturing a cup filled with cup.
A regular cup. That's what I'm saying. I'm typing in 80s cup. Oh that's fuck. A 90s cup.
80s cup.
At least I'm typing it in, not yelling at the fucking thing with it. 80s glass I would have to type in.
Do you want me to keep naming stuff?
From yes. The 80s.
Five things from the 80s. You're
eating.
Yeah.
Drinking. Yeah. Breathing. Walking. Sitting down.
Right. I don't think sitting down was invented until 1991.
Man, well, it's the US release or the Australian release?
Google 80s chair. I bet you can't find one. Anyway, so you like the 80s. We can establish that.
Yes.
Now, another thing I know about you is that you love a good viral marketing campaign.
Oh, mate. I'm just hooked in by whatever they throw at me. I'm a moron.
That happens in the real world that I is love meant to viral ignite people on the internet.
Yeah. Viral marketing is my favorite thing. Now I'm on a horse.
Flash mob.
Look back.
And rewarding himself with a big drink of water. Yes. After that one.
Thirsty.
Yeah.
So I guess the unofficial cinematic adaptation of the Filthy Casuals podcast, Ready Player One,
yes,
is just screaming its way towards us. Mm. And the big wigs down at the Warner Brothers marketing department, they have come up with the marketing campaign to end all marketing campaigns.
We can
literally
hope.
This is so bad. Marketing will cease to exist after this.
It's so bad. It's a bad concept. It's been done so much in like t-shirts
so
and all of that.
So the marketing or the, enough, I don't know what this is.
Enough about the book.
Yeah.
Right. So did you not see
this? I haven't seen any of this because I couldn't care less about that movie.
Right. Okay. So they've done a thing where they've just gone and put up a bunch of posters that are themed on classic, like The Matrix, Breakfast Club, with the characters
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Right.
And made them with the characters of Ready Player One, and just obviously the title is Ready Player One. So these themed and just, you know, kind of put them up in a few kind of random spots in, I think, like LA, and just, you know, then they just sit back and they just wait for those photos to start clogging up Flickr accounts.
Yeah, that's it.
All across the globe.
The Instagrams with the hashtag Ready Player One.
Yeah.
But then the hashtag's also shit marketing campaign.
I've got to upload this to my photo bucket.
Yeah, they're really bad. So the idea is bad and the execution is pretty low bit. Like I saw a tweet where someone said about the Matrix one, it's like, this looks like someone's Pissweek oversized forum signature from 2002.
Yes.
Like they really do look like that shitty kind of deviant art stuff where it's
it's literally working right now though. We are doing their marketing for them.
Mm.
Yeah.
We talked about it already as a movie that we think looks bad. I don't know if that is a good thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like we're handing them money.
No, I don't think so.
No, I feel like after this I'm going to find Steven Spielberg and mail him some money.
Okay. Well, that's your prerogative.
Well, did we talk about this the last time we talked about the movie coming out and shat all over it? We then found out on our Facebook page that a lot of our listeners really love that book and are really excited for the movie.
Yeah.
So I dare say that nothing that we say has any impact over whether or not people go to see this movie.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see it as well.
Yes.
So,
yeah. But it is, I mean, it's kind of perfect. Like, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer, but it just is that really dialing it up to it. Like, the trailer and everything about it is already just, like, such base level, like, offensively pandering nostalgia.
Yes.
And it's incredible that they found a way to outdo that.
Yeah.
Like take it up to the next degree.
Well, it's everything I hated about Stranger Things crystallized into this ultra concentrated form.
It makes me think it has to be deliberate though, right?
Well, like, I'm talking about the movie in general as well.
Yeah, I guess the movie, but like there can't be that many, like the posters and stuff have to be someone going like, okay.
Stranger Things, though, at least tried to pretend that it wasn't doing the exact same thing.
Yes.
Whereas this movie is literally, here's the Iron Giant.
Yeah. And the book is bad. I'm sorry. It's not a good book.
Mm.
It is just a list of
it's
references.
It's not the good book either.
No, it's certainly not. No, I didn't piss on that in a bath. Although I should.
Yeah, tell you what, though. That thing is going to have a dope soundtrack.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Dope, you dope, got dope. The touch.
I wear my sunglasses and I've been playing Vice City still. It's good.
Oh, yeah, nice. Still exists? Yeah. Still is Vice City?
Yep, still continues to remain the exact same game.
You know what continues to remain really good? Our sponsor, Harry's.
Hell yeah. I'm glad that that's the case.
Yeah, Harry's is sponsoring this episode again. And guess what, boys? I used a Harry's razor to shave my face the other day.
Very, very good stuff.
It's fucking great. It is genuinely the best shave I've ever had.
Right.
I stopped using like actual razors because they all sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I just get like, I won't name a brand, but
that's
ones
gonna,
from the supermarket.
Hurt. If they're just sucking on your hair, yanking it out of your face, if that's the way they're functioning.
Now, you know I didn't mean it that way.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything, Mr. Faulty.
But yeah, I've been a beard trimmer guy for years now, and this made me enjoy actually shaving with a razor again. So Harry's was started by a couple of ordinary guys called Jeffrey and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades. So they started Harry's to fix shaving. And in my opinion, they did. They stripped out all the unnecessary stuff, the extra blades, the heated handle, the lubricating strips. Again, it sounds like a sex toy.
High-powered suction motors.
Yes.
Heated handle? When was that a thing?
I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't think we're ever in the right tax bracket for that.
If you put any shaving handle in your car on a hot day for long enough, it would be a heated handle.
And that's the Harry's guarantee. A good shave comes down to a good blade, and Harry's owns the factory that produces their razors, so they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade.
And they don't pay rent.
They do not pay rent. They do pay land taxes, I guess, like rates probably.
We don't know that.
I'm sure that it's all above
board. Weird that they wouldn't include that kind of detail in the copy.
Yeah,
Harry's, get in touch with us and let us know, what are you paying in land tax?
What was your stamp duty?
Yes.
I'm out of... landowning references now.
I think that's all we needed.
Mm.
Probably one too many. So they back all their products with 100% quality guarantee. And Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you a trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/filthycasuals. You just got to pay for shipping, which is an incredible deal.
The blades on these guys.
Shipping is cheaper than land tax.
That's it.
I can tell you that for not definite.
No, another guess. So claim your free trial offer today from Harry's. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up. You just got to cover that shipping.
I thought you were going to say, you just got to shove that discount up your ass.
Shove someone in the street hard enough that their wallet falls out, and pick that wallet up and use that to pay for the shipping. That's all.
Even Ben turned on the sponsor right near the end of the ad.
The trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle,
mm-hmm.
5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade. You get some shave gel, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And you get a little cover so you can take it around with you. So to get your free trial, go to harrys.com/filthycasuals right now. That's harrys.com/filthycasuals, the name of our show.
And since we're talking about a little bit of online shipping, if that's something that you do from time to time, I would strongly recommend using ShipStation. If you sell online through like eBay or Amazon or Magento, I'm not an online seller myself, so I don't know Magento. But I'm sure to the right people, that is ringing all their doorbells.
Some people sitting there right now going, fuck yeah, Magento shout out.
Yeah,
Magento,
yeah.
My favorite X-Men.
And we've done that joke before.
Well, I'm going to do it every time.
Hey, it's clearly working. They keep sponsoring the show.
It's true, it's
not
true.
Not Magento, ShipStation.
Yes.
Whatever you use, though, you need ShipStation. It's a fast and easy way to manage and dispatch your orders all from one place. You can use ShipStation to compare rates from top couriers, including Royal Mail, FedEx, DHL, and UPS, so it does all that work for you. You don't have to get your hands sticky dialing different phones, having 4 phones all pushed up against your ear at once going, wait, I shouldn't have called you all at once. And whether you have one or hundreds of orders, ShipStation makes it easy to batch and print labels so you can get orders out quickly and keep your customers happy.
Yeah, so you're shipping out those 3 excess phones that you realize you don't need anymore.
It's no wonder the ShipStation is such a popular choice of online sellers across the UK, with people selling landlines at this rate.
And land with stamp duty.
Hell yeah, we definitely know everything about what it takes to be an adult in the 1990s.
Adulting, am I right?
So you can use ShipStation free for 30 days, plus get a special bonus when you use the promotion code CASUALS. Mm-hmm. So to get this special promotion, just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CASUALS. That's ShipStation.com, then enter the promotion code CASUALS. Mm. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
Ah, yes. Nice. My favorite
X-Men. Yeah,
So, yeah, go support them, guys. Worth reiterating. They're obviously, they're supporting the show. They're helping us out a great deal. So, if you're in the market for either of those things, or even if you're not, you just want to, you know, show your little mates that you appreciate it.
Like I said with Harry's, like, I was a firm non-Razer user and it's converted me. So
I'm the same. I got that trial set as well. And fantastic stuff. Knox, you're a bearded gentleman.
I'm planning to shave
my balls
in like May. Oh. I can't really do it until
what's
then.
What's happening in May?
The comedy festival's over and I need the beard for a character that I'm portraying.
Called Insecure Man.
It's the role of in KFC at 3 a.m.
Spent my whole life preparing. But I was thinking the other day, I was like genuinely kind of dreaming about shaving all of my hair off.
Ooh. I was literally thinking that about an hour ago. Just I don't know why.
About Knox.
I want to see him hairless.
I want to go complete Howard Hughes. Yeah. Take every single bit of it off.
Oh, my God.
Cover myself in duct tape so it can't grow back.
Yes.
That's how duct tape works.
Probably. If you do it tight enough.
Don't get laser removal. Just whack some tape on it.
Or whatever. I'll have a bath in some kind of acid that only works on hair roots or whatever. Something.
That does exist.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it called old age?
No. Well, you're leaning into me. As if you're like really trying to like, you know, show me who's boss. Let's quickly mention this here before we get to, because, you know, doing it at the end of the show feels like something of a waste. Speaking of plugs, the three of us have comedy festival shows that we would love listeners of this to come and check out.
Yeah.
My show is called Leisure Suit Tommy. It is on from March 28 until April the 8th. And also the 15th and 22nd. You can find details for that, comedyfestival.com.au.
Yeah.
Knox, you have a stand-up show as well.
I have a show. It's called This Show is Good and Funny, Attendance Appreciated. It's on 6:30 every day from the 29th to the 22nd, except for Wednesdays. And then it's earlier on Sundays as well.
Yeah.
And then there's an accessible performance on, I think, the 15th.
Oh.
But I'd have to check my own poster to know that for sure.
I find all of your performance to be pretty inaccessible, I have to say.
Well, not as maybe mentally. But physically you can get in the room and be confounded if you want.
Yes.
Well, speaking of accessible, I believe every single showing of The Death of Chimcop is accessible. It's all on the ground floor. Mm. It is from March the 29th until April the 22nd at 8:30 p.m. at Trades Hall. Mm-hmm. It's going to be...
Except for Wednesdays and earlier Sundays.
It's going to be not on Wednesdays and it's on earlier on Sundays. And it's going to be a great show, so
you
please come along.
You expect banter like this, these two guys.
Yeah. If only Knox had learned his lines for that one.
comedyfestival.com.au. Thanks to people who have already bought tickets and told us that they've done so. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing some of you filth in there at the shows.
Yeah.
Alongside preparing for Comedy Festival, I managed to sneak in a couple of games this week.
Ooh,
do you
want
to hear about them?
Yes.
Or is this not the time or place?
No, I think you probably should.
SteamWorld Dig, the first one. I played through that.
Right.
Because you guys love the second and I'm...
Disliked the second extremely.
Oh, Tommy loved the second.
I liked it a lot, yeah.
Right, but you disliked it.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Generally speaking, you could probably make that assumption about our feelings about any game and be right 90% of the time.
You both like Bayonetta?
That's true.
Has that been the only unifying? That's like the...
Oh, and Owlboy.
Owlboy, yeah.
And SteamWorld Dig too, right?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I liked it. What did you think of it?
So I have a dumb thing where I don't like playing the second game before the first one.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Like, there's so many games out there, and often the second one's better than the first.
They almost invariably improve. But
I understand that, though. Like, I... generally tend to kind of like leap in on the second. If I miss the first and the second is out and gets a lot of hype, it's like, well, I've got to do this.
Yeah, right.
But I do, there is part of me that sort of feels like, I think I would appreciate the goodness of this even more had I come from a basis of...
Well, right. And do you know what it is? Like, I know if I play the second one first, I'll never play the first one.
Yes.
Right.
And so I kind of want to go through... Especially SteamWorld, I finished in like 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It's super short.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed it. It was fun. Like, it's not particularly... It's not great, especially like I feel like there's a lot of stuff that could be improved on in the second one where like... I didn't like some of the stuff with the controls where you can only – so you're if you've never heard of it, you're digging down this big ditch basically underneath this old Western town trying to get to the bottom to find out a secret about your uncle who's left you some cryptic note before he died. But you're a steam-powered robot in the far future. And so you go deeper and deeper and deeper through this cavernous cave.
Yeah.
It's a very cave-like cave.
Sure.
And you're digging your way down.
I mean, it's just the ground, right?
Yeah. But then there's shit down there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, like, you come across in the middle patch, like, the sort of what humans have evolved into, and they're these gross old fucks.
Right,
and they're, like, drinking and throwing bottles at you. And you're trying to find your way to different power-ups as you go through.
Right.
And you can only dig dirt that's directly to your sides or above you or below.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't like
go diagonally.
And you can't jump and get something whilst you're jumping.
Ah, yeah.
You know, like you can't, you have to be standing to next dig. To it. Yeah.
That is the same in two.
Mm. Right. Yeah. That was something that just, I get why they did it because, but.
Although you do get, don't you get an ability in two where you can fly around and kind of cut through dirt or am I? Remembering that.
Right. I only played it for like 40 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
There's just some stuff where like the power-ups didn't get me quite to the point that I wanted,
right.
Which is to be zipping through it and tearing everything apart.
Right.
I felt pretty... like you get more and more powerful and that thing's always kind of the point of a game like this where you're...
Yeah. The progression, yeah.
So is it the same as two where you're getting like you're getting you know rocks and various gems and stuff, and then going up to sell them to get money to buy new and so
to buy new things, and then sometimes going into like a special little cave, a little level kind of to find a specific thing.
Yeah,
and the ones that are there are good, and they introduce new interesting things of like, oh, now you need to make sure you've got enough water all the time, and now you need to. But it was never particularly. It was never a very good difficulty in either way. Like, it was never easy and it was never hard in an interesting way. It was just, like, a bit annoying because you always knew exactly what you had to do. It's like, well, I need to come down here with more water again. But it just felt a little bit like busy work at the time.
I really did enjoy number two. Like, I loved the music in it. I loved the little loop of, like, gradually, building up. But I know what you're saying. Like, I remember upgrading for the first time and thinking, oh, here we go, and there not being that much of a discernible difference in with my drill. Where and
some of it was pretty useless as well. Like, I got the you get a punch sort of thing where you can shoot your fist out, and I never really used it except for a couple of specific situations. You get a wall jump that you have from the start, actually.
Yeah.
You get a grappling hook thing in number two, and you get like a thing where you can then fly around, which helps a lot. Like when if you fall, you know, through a pit, you don't have to like dig your way back up. You can just like
that's definitely not in the
up to the top.
In the first one, you get like sort of a jump that you have to charge up and uses some water.
Right,
the first one.
Right,
and but I still really did enjoy it. I don't remember the music at all, so I don't know if the music was maybe improved in the second one.
The cool thing about the second one, and not that I played the first one, but you're someone who is looking for the character from the first
and
one.
She makes that decision at the end of this.
Oh, that's
one,
cool.
Which is kinda
cool.
Right.
And I did like the personality of all the little characters in the town.
Yeah,
and
same.
Like the art style and stuff was nice. The little sounds they make when they're talking to you. Good little sounds of games I've played recently. Celeste, that great little...
So I just didn't get along with any of the aesthetic and so of two, and it just made all the gameplay too blatantly busy work.
Yeah.
The aesthetic is definitely something that's a little Flash reminiscent.
And
these games, this type of game started with Flash. I've definitely played something in like 2003 that was this.
Yeah.
Right.
And that upgrade loop was more satisfying back then.
Yeah,
in whatever game that had been. So I just, never felt like I was in a good sweet spot of feeling either the difficulty was up against me so much that it was engaging or that I was getting so powerful that it was just fun.
Right.
It was some kind of dumb middle point that I didn't really like. But overall, the game was I saw it through to the end, and even though it was short, it something about it grabbed me to the point where I wanted to finish
From what you're saying, it sort of sounds like you didn't enjoy the first one enough, nor is the second one different enough for it to be worth you bothering going in on the second.
Yeah, that's...
I would say.
Right, okay. Because I'm still... If that's on sale or something...
Yeah. I would still... I mean, I would recommend the second to people. Like, I when I was playing it, I really enjoyed it and then finished it and... I mean, I haven't really thought about it too much since I finished it. It didn't really... I did enjoy it. I didn't, like, fall in love with it in the way that I did with, like, Owlboy or Celeste.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is fun and this is all kind of cool. It kind of ended... I felt like 2 ended kind of abruptly. Like it felt to me
so
like there
the
was heaps
one.
More to go.
Yeah.
Because you're in this, you know, cavern that's sort of made to feel like, fuck me, it is so big and deep down here. And then it feels like you're just kind of starting to get a sense of the size of it. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, this is it.
Same exact experience of like, yeah, I zipped through it way quicker than I thought.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess maybe with knowing that, maybe you'd like it is like an easy, yeah, if you're looking for something that you could knock off in a week with pretty regular playing time without having a ton of time, I think the second one is a lot of fun.
And that was the thing about it is it was so easy to play.
Yeah.
And so just like I did it in sort of like 10-15 minute little blocks in between doing other stuff, which was the perfect sort of thing for what I needed. So
yeah, you're not really going to get too stuck with it. You can sort of just go in and give it a half hour and
And that sort of repetitive nature of it is broken up by doing it that way.
Yeah,
so right. I think that's probably the way to do it. So yeah, I don't know. It was fine.
And also just that any game where you're like, you're going in, you're getting all these materials and then you're going out and just absolutely cashing out and watching that cat. Like that is just always going to be super satisfying.
Totally.
Whatever the game is.
The numbers going up is very, it triggers a lot of good feelings in a capitalist brain like mine.
Yes.
Well, speaking of games that have a very strange difficulty level that doesn't ever seem particularly challenging, I played the Kirby demo.
Kirby
Star Allies.
Star Allies.
Right.
Yeah.
There's like 20 Kirby games out every day.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of fucking Kirby. And they were all on the 3D. I think this is the first Switch one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Switch one, yeah. There was like one on the Wii U and there was a 3DS one maybe a year or two ago that was actually apparently quite good.
Mm.
But I played this demo as well.
Yeah, now you said to me, I bet you're going to fucking hate this.
Yes, yes, I did say that.
And I said, you'll be pleasantly surprised. I thought it was fine.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I thought you were going to
pull a switcheroo there and go, I really, really fucking hate it.
No, I can't. Even for comedy, I couldn't lie like that. I thought it was good. Like, it was really easy. You had like an easy level and a hard level.
Yeah.
They were labeled.
There's absolutely no difference in skill level between the two.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Kirby games that I've played in the past have always been extremely easy, which is only like the Game Boy one and I think one other one.
Yeah,
I might. It's kind of part of their thing a little bit.
I remember playing 2 and I was a little on the Game Boy. And I was a little kid when I played it, but I remember it not being a super pushover. Like I remember definitely having a bit to it.
Yeah, and I've seen a few people on our Facebook group and just generally online being like, this is a game for children, I guess. Like it is that easy. It was pleasant. I like the aesthetic fine. Like it's all very bright and fun and silly, and the mechanics are pretty interesting, and I like that taking over, you know, characters and getting their powers, and the boss fights were fun enough, but it was all just so easy. Like I never even noticed if I had lost any health
it's a strange one because it doesn't really seem to be too much about fighting enemies that are on the screen. It doesn't seem to be too much about the platforming. For me, I did enjoy my time with it, even though I found it quite easy. I mean, yeah, maybe it's long and there's multiple exits and it's something where you're going for like the collecting of stuff becomes kind of, and like looking around the levels becomes the main thrust of it. I think visually, I think it looks really great. Like you know, the Kirby games have always had a very strong kind of cute aesthetic, and just the way they've rendered all that in HD, like, and the colours and everything, I think looks very impressive.
Yeah, the style, the design style, like the tree boss is very cool. It's kind of a little bit like Cuphead old cartoony mixed with this kind of modern polished Nintendo style.
Is it like a little claymation-y, or am I thinking of something else?
No, they did do one of them a little while ago,
right,
like a clay sort of looking one. But so the basic, the gist of it is you can throw these little hearts at enemies and then make them join your team, and then you kind of have access to all these like sort of different powers. Mm. And so you can end up having four people in your party, and then part of that is that friends can jump in and play with you at any time. So my only thing with it is it feels like one of these things, like a Mario 3D World or a new Super Mario Brothers, mm-hmm. where it's being pushed on like, hey, you can play this platformer with four of you running around. And my fear of it is it going to be as fun if you're not doing that?
Right.
If you're just playing it through it by yourself.
Sure.
Because it definitely does look like if you had four people playing and, you know, you've all got these fucking crazy abilities that are like flaming swords and turning into a big ice block and stuff that. If you're trying to get through levels together, like, I can see how that would be very fun. But in terms of something that, as a single player, you're playing through, to me, that was the thing I took away from it. I'm like, this seems like the balance is a bit more of one of those things that you feel like you're just really missing out on half the experience by playing it by yourself.
Yeah, and also it felt a little bit like you are even more overpowered than you should have been just playing it by yourself with these three AI characters, because you're just like playing a normal platformer and then you've got three guys throwing fireballs and ice balls at the enemies as well. It's like, okay, this is even easier than it should have been.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And I also don't see it being the go-to party game when you do have a bunch of mates over. Like, maybe you play it when it's just come out and then you play Mario Kart. Like,
yeah, that's the other hard thing. It's one of those ones.
Gotta go around to Steve-O's house and play some Kirby tonight by a slap.
Like, it really feels like it would be only really playable with other people who've also played it, who also have it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like with Mario Kart, you can go, here's how you do it and have a good time, whereas this is like, I don't know. I mean, still looking forward to it and I'm going to get it. Like, I think even if it's a bit of a breeze, like, I like the whole aesthetic and I like all the other shit that's going on. But, I've kind of been wondering for a while just how much depth there is going to be to it, because these games have traditionally been the Kirby franchise is one that they sort of seem to not really worry about the degree of difficulty or length to it is more the common criticism of it. Like,
right,
I don't mind if it's super super easy as long as there's actual time investment in it, but it looks visually, it looks great, and it is fun. Like, it's pretty, it's very charming.
Yes, yeah.
It sounds relaxing, maybe. Might be the right way to approach it from.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm still looking forward to playing through it, and even if it doesn't really bust my balls, it's like, I think I'll have a fun time just like cruising through it and.
Cool. Mm. Well, a game that is the opposite of relaxing. I've been playing Metal Gear Survive.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And most of the time I've spent with it has been mainly out of obligation. For anyone who doesn't know what it is, this game is not really a Metal Gear game. It is using that engine that the fifth one used.
Yep.
And it's doing a completely different sort of side story thing in a weird way, where like it does attach itself to like the bit in between the two halves of Five,
right?
Like Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain, the thing that happened in there.
Yeah.
And like has this really weird intro where this inscrutable sort of story is being laid out in that way of people going like, what do they call it? The consortium or whatever.
He's
dropping these names where it's like, I'm not meant to know about this until later. Really irritating way where there's so little context that what story there is there, you immediately go like, oh no, fuck you. This story is not, I don't want to know about this because I'm just confused.
Right.
And then you get dropped into this world. So you're in this like ruined alternate dimension version of Afghanistan from Five.
Right.
And there's this big sort of dust cloud there and all these zombies with crystals for their heads. And what you've got to do is go around the place and gather up all this information that a team that was there left behind to build up an idea of what's going on there.
Right.
And in between...
Why? Why is the zombies have crystal heads?
Who knows? The consortium has, and it's okay.
You haven't gotten up to that bit, have you?
No. Because I think that everything will be laid out right at the end.
Right.
Because basically, it starts with some story stuff, then the whole fucking middle appears to have nothing, and then I think there's going to be a bit at the end.
Right.
Right.
And the middle bit, so the actual game is this. It's a survival game, which is something like Don't Starve.
Yeah.
Or kind of what Minecraft is, if you play that the way it's meant to be. Subnautica is one that came out recently that people say is good.
Yeah.
And it's a style of game I think you very much either like or very don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm in that second camp of not. Because,
very don't.
How very don't you?
You are spending your time fretting about how much stuff you have.
Right.
So like, oh, I don't have enough of this resource. I better go find that. Oh, my stamina's running low. I better go find that. Oh, my health's getting low. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just tedious.
What about in the game?
It's the same thing in the game.
I think the game is what he was talking about.
Oh, then that is totally my fault. I'm really sorry, guys. I guess I'm a little bit thick today. I should have seen that.
Just on your best behavior from now on,
yes,
okay?
Yes, no,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to speak on behalf of you, Adam, but one more slip up like that and you are out.
Yeah,
you're
okay,
fucking
out. I'll really tune in from now on.
So when there's this big stuff.
And what about in the game?
If you'd have waited like 10 seconds.
That's right. That's it. Yeah. I'm kicking you out of your Game of Thrones podcast.
Oh, no.
It's just going to be me every week going like, well, I thought it was all right.
So you get around to watching it this week.
You spend most of your time in this fucking dust that's everywhere, and it just like makes everything look very bland and boring. You can't really tell where you are because it's just this fucking cloud, a nice looking cloud, but
it's
a cloud.
It seems like that's like we don't have to build a bunch of assets. We just have a big dust cloud.
Yeah, kind of, and they very much have, because a lot of it is from, it feels like a mod for Metal Gear Solid 5.
Right.
In the way that like every game on the Nintendo 64 was set in an extremely foggy environment.
Right, exactly.
For the draw distance.
Right. Man,
shame I have to hunt all these dinosaurs in this, the worst smog that London has ever had.
Why don't I just take the day off and wait for the weather to improve and I'll be able to see this fucking stegosaur properly.
No, I've got to get out there. I'm Two Rock, not Tomorrow Rock. I've got to do it today.
Rock.
And so you're going through and doing these pretty repetitive cycles of like, pick up this stuff so you can build this thing that only really serves you for a small period of time until you pick up this stuff and build this thing. And there's not, the story isn't enough to drive you through it. The actual action of it isn't enough to drive you through it. The controls are good because it's basically Metal Gear Solid 5.
Right. So what about combat? So this all so far has just been like collecting stuff and building stuff to collect more stuff. Is there actual combat going on?
Yes. The zombies will fight you if they see you, and you can kind of stealth around them. But if you crouch, that uses stamina. If you sprint, that uses stamina.
Right.
So you've got to watch it. So like what happens is when you're thirsty, your stamina goes down. I think it's this. If you're hungry, your stamina your health goes down. If you're thirsty, your stamina goes down.
Right.
They're just all sort of things you have to manage. And then it limits your top level. So you will recharge. Say you've got 1,000 points. If you're at 20% thirst, you'll recharge to 200 points.
Yeah, sure.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so then you're managing that all the time and sort of thinking about what moves you can do, but it doesn't really affect you in action stuff. And so you're sneaking around these very stupid zombies. Mm-hmm. They are not so that it's the same as Metal Gear Solid 5, but if all the AI was shit.
Right.
And then you're doing a lot more melee stuff. There's like basically a lot of what you're going to be doing is getting chased by zombies, setting up a fence and then poking them through the fence.
Right.
Walking Dead style, trying to get them in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it just does feel tedious. And so there's not any Metal Gear stuff in there that if you're a fan of Metal Gear, you'll go like, oh, cool, another one of these.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good enough survival game that even if you do like survival games that you're going to enjoy it. I don't think it's a good game like Metal Gear was in that way. I'm just not really sure who it's for.
It does seem like an incredibly cynical game on every front because for those that don't know, I imagine everyone knows the backstory who listens to this, but so Hideo Kojima, the creator of Metal Gear, booted out of Konami. They've now made this without him. So, like, there's no way that anyone who is a fan of Metal Gear, because Hideo is so intrinsically linked to that series, anyone who's a deep fan of Metal Gear knows that kind of this is what they've done to him, like continued this on without him being around. So no one who's a fan of it is going to support it. So it just feels like it's being sort of cynically marketed towards idiots, right? Like, or just people that are unaware of the really the only market for it is people who don't, don't really have an attachment to that kind of stuff, which does, it's cynical of them to kick him out and then make something under this banner, but then,
But it's their name, and I like that they tried something new in concept. I like that they didn't go, it's Metal Gear Solid 6, and then make that shit. They're like, oh, it's a side thing. We're doing this other bit.
Well, even that aspect to it is cynical because I feel like they had an engine and a game, and they didn't have the talent or the actual, you know, originality or imagination to make something actually brand new. They just went, what can we do with this engine that is easy, appeals to a bunch of people, and will make us money?
I do think they've tried, though, weirdly.
Like, really?
There's stuff in there. There's a, it's trying. Okay. It just doesn't hit it.
It sounds really trying.
It, it like, it isn't that it's cynical in the way that it's like broken and a cash grab in that way. It like there is cash grabby stuff about it. Like it shouldn't be the price that it is.
Right.
And then there's microtransactions in it that shouldn't be in there.
Right.
But like they've just tried to not hit the mark with the game itself, I think. But like also it's hard for me to tell because a lot of the stuff about it, the survival-y things, I just kind of get switched off by anyway.
Right.
So, but it, like, I kind of want to play more of it still for some reason, just because like it feels nice to move around in that engine. Maybe I want to play Metal Gear Solid 5 again. Is the thing?
Yeah, right?
Sounds that way.
It sounds like they got you.
Maybe
they got you.
I wouldn't have probably played it if it weren't for this podcast.
Right.
Right.
But like, it isn't terrible. If you're really fascinated and you're like, I have to know how it turned out,
right,
go into it knowing that it's like this, but I don't think it's like flat out bad.
Right.
It's just kind of a little, tedious and humdrum.
Does it seem like if you weren't really, had not played Metal Gear or anything before, you could just get this and have a good time with it on its own terms?
Totally. The game itself doesn't really give a shit about the fact that it's a Metal Gear game.
Right.
So
you
don't have to. And there are some fun little characters. There's these little AIs that are like kind of fun who talk to you. But then at some point they're like, yeah, well, you need to collect this. And you're like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's totally a little less than fine, but it's not as bad as I kind of expected it to be going in with people kind of tearing it apart a bit. It's just not a great version of anything that it's trying to do.
Right.
But it's not like if you have to know, then you're not going to hate yourself for having bought it, I reckon, probably.
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay.
But otherwise, but the people who have to know, like, this is the last, like, I'm really interested to see what the fucking next thing, if anything, has the words Metal Gear on it.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll probably not be anything ever again.
Yeah.
Probably. It's probably that and Mass Effect are dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Burnout's back, baby.
Yeah.
Need for Speed's dead too.
Ben, you got any more thoughts on Yakuza 0?
Oh, yeah. A few of our listeners did ask me to check back in. It's still really good. Like, there's a second main character now, another playable character that I've found.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just playing it more, it's reinforcing more how good the atmosphere is.
Yeah.
The gameplay itself is a little old-fashioned, like I said last week, and it hasn't got more complex or nuanced or anything. It is just like a real old-fashioned beat-em-up. The graphics are a little last-gen, but somehow the atmosphere, the writing and the storytelling, the voice acting, the presentation is really engaging and fun. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. Like, that's just what it is. The story is, it's just this real twisty-turny, pulpy kind of crime story that it does really, really well. There's a second location. It's in Osaka, and it's basically a representation of Dotonbori, which we've been to, Tommy.
Yep.
They call it a different name, but it's like it has the fucking crab restaurant and it has the river. Like,
Is that the place where you can eat Pikachu's ass?
No, that's Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where can I go to eat Pikachu's ass?
Tokyo.
Cool. And what if I wanted to eat Pikachu's ass? Where would I go?
Go to Tokyo.
All right.
The Pokemon Cafe in Tokyo.
Yakuza Zero sounds great and I want to get into it when I have more time.
What was that meant to be?
I don't know.
You were talking about eating Pikachu's ass before. You put it on the fucking document.
Yeah, but you sound like you were... I did not put it on the document.
No, that was me.
And
we got a great discussion out of it.
You sounded like you were setting aside... Didn't it have the cadence of is your fridge running?
Yes.
It sounded like you had something ready to go.
Absolutely not. The phrase eating Pikachu's ass should stand on its own.
Yeah, but it was the,
why do you need a second fucking thing after that?
It was your cheeky little cadence that you were doing.
Sound like a setup. Sounded like a setup.
You say eat Pikachu's ass without looking like you got a bit of a glint in your eye.
This kind of convoluted story is exactly what Yakuza Zero does perfectly. It is just a really fun, silly game with little nuances, a lot of side quests, funny characters, and the atmosphere is fantastic. So I'm still loving it.
Great.
I'm definitely going to play it at some point. Let's do one of our world famous sealed sections on it one time. The world famous thing we did once.
Yes, but it is world famous.
Hey, this goes out across the globe.
Yeah,
it's not limited. People in Fiji listen to this.
World wasn't the word that I had issue with.
I guess we better wrap it up there for another week.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au if you want to find us on the socials or any of the links to things that we've mentioned previously in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for sending us all your stuff during the week of news stories and your hot takes on them. We always appreciate getting that.
Yes.
Emails and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. A lot of questions have been sent through. They will be answered in a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll be recording very soon.
Yes, we'll be back next week to talk about the Nintendo Direct that is probably happening by the time pretty much everyone listens to this.
Yep.
What else we've been playing during the week. But until next time, as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'm going to eat Pikachu's ass. Full stop.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.